Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Sam, the sun is shining here. The air feels cleaner and fresher and crisper. My hair is shinier. My nose is wetter. I think I've grown by at least 3/4 of an inch. Because my posture is suddenly just straighter.
Your gums are healthier.
My gums are healthier. You can see just from looking at me, yeah, my gums are healthier. Yeah,
good, healthy gums.
My tits are firmer. Yeah. Everything is incredible because Sunderland have finally ended their 48-year drought at Wembley with the Papa John's Trophy. Oh, my God, it was so good. Oh, I've just had a big fucking grin on my face ever since 5-5 or whenever it was yesterday when it finished.
Was it tense? Did you watch it with your lad?
Yeah, and my mum and dad as well. They came round as well.
That's great.
I watched our last Wembley victory with them in 1973 when I was 10 months old. But, I watched some of that one because me nana walked me round the block in my pram. Because everyone was shouting at the telly and I got spooked.
Upset.
And I started crying. So I had to be taken from the room and walked around the block. But I watched all of this one. And oh God, it was tense. The match itself, if anyone saw it, oh God, it was dog shit. Oh, it was so bad. Oh, Jesus Christ. It was, Tranmere with a...
So you weren't dominant throughout. It wasn't like, we're going to win this.
At no point, Tranmere with a better footballing team. Friend of the show, Nigel Adderley, the commentator, I was chatting with him on Twitter yesterday because he's a Tranmere fan, and I said, you played the better football by far. They had more attacking purpose and all that kind of thing. They looked more confident, and we'd never got out of our shell. But we had one moment of genius from Aidan McGeady, who played this beautiful defence-splitting ball along the ground for Lyndon Gooch to go on and score the only goal of the game. And we defended really well, and that was about it. It was a dog shit match, but we won the silverware. We won the Pizza Cup.
It's
going to Pizza Europe now.
It's a weird feeling when you've waited that long for a trophy, and when it comes, it's played in a fucking empty Wembley. It's frustrating, isn't it?
I said this months and months ago. I thought this is how it would go down. If that's what it takes to end the 48-year, our ninth attempt at winning at Wembley. If that's what it takes, then so be it. We'll just try and get there again another time in the future.
It's like West Ham are having probably the best season they've had, certainly in the Premier League ever. And it's happening without us being there. But, sign of getting old, I'm like, lovely not being there.
Well, this is it. Me and my son now, we've got a little match day tradition that we always have a nice bit of cake when we watch the match on the telly. Beautiful. Whenever we watch us play. We have the Taste the Difference Sainsbury's, either the Belgian chocolate one, which I think you're a fan of. You've had that one, haven't you? Or the Victoria Sponge, which I'm currently into. So we have some of that instead of actually going to the match. And it's good. I was going to say, though, the last time West Ham had a really great season, though, was that season when 86. There was a TV blackout in the mid-80s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So you missed out on that in a way as
well. That was, we'd signed Frank McAvenny from St Mirren, and obviously no one had heard of him, right? Yeah. And all we saw was on teletext
just
was
a wee jolly
called McAvenny. Just kept scoring because we watched the first half of the season just on teletext, and every week we were winning, and every week it said McAvenny, and you're a bit like, who's this cunt, right? We'd actually signed him as a midfielder and had to convert him early doors to a striker because Paul Goddard got injured. So it was sort of exciting because there was a big reveal when the football came back towards the end of that season, didn't it?
Yeah.
And there was a big reveal. It's like, oh, and you can imagine we were like, oh my God, he's gorgeous. Because I'd seen some grainy newspaper photos of him, but they didn't do justice to his blonde hair.
Well, the newspapers blacked out as well, was nobody allowed to see anything. Because the newspapers were all black and white then, weren't they?
They were black and white, and it was pretty inky and smudgy, you know. And Frank McAvenny, what really made him special was his platinum blonde curly locks, you know.
Yeah.
And you didn't have any sense of that. And then when you fucking finally saw it, you thought, Jesus. And then, actually, I must watch this on YouTube. Then he turned up on fucking Wogan. He was such a goal scoring sensation. Fucking Wogan booked him. And like, I was a kid, like, fucking hell. I'll put him on the telly. Our striker is on fucking Wogan. That was a proper, and eight cunts.
Yeah.
You know, like, the walk-on Wogan.
Yeah.
By the way, don't send us Nick Cage coming on to Wogan again.
No, but, I'm never going to see that ever again.
Right. But the walk-on is always sort of funny, isn't it? Because it's every time it's a compilation of all right cunts.
It's a long walk as well. Can you imagine doing it? Yeah. It's a long walk. I bet it feels like 10 minutes doing that 5-second walk across the stage.
It must have been, I mean, to be fair, it must have been a fucking slow day at Wogan for them to have booked Frank McAvoy. Why don't you get that West Ham striker?
Was he wearing, I'm trying to imagine, was he wearing a silver suit, white socks and loafers?
Yeah.
That kind of feels like what he'd look like.
He might as well have fucking driven in a fucking Ford Capri.
Oi, oi.
Driven onto the set in a Ford Capri, blaring out a bit of Vandross.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So those were good times.
Yeah.
But it's just a shame that the good times are coming to our clubs without us being there. But
yeah,
it's so lovely being in. What I miss is away games, right?
Yeah.
Because away games are a fucking great laugh, right? Yeah. And there's a proper atmosphere, proper bit of excitement. Home games are grind. Mm-hmm. Especially if you play in the fucking Thunderdome at bloody Stratford like West Ham do, where you have to walk through some sort of soulless concrete dystopia for what feels like 4 hours before you get to your seat.
Before you reach the Thunderdome.
It's fucking awful. And a grind is the right fucking description for it. It's a grind, right? Yeah. And I don't know if they do this at Stadium of Light, but these days as well, you've got to factor in the fact that when you get there, it's not like you just rock up to the turnstile minute before kickoff and click clack through. Click clack, click clack, click clack. Right? You get fucking these huge crowds come from the station like ants. Fucking hours it takes us to fucking march, right? Through all this concrete concourse.
Jesus.
And then finally they funnel you between those sorts of metal fences that police are always putting up all over the place, right? Into a security zone, right, which is like airport security. And they're dealing with 60,000 cunts, right? 60,000 people, and they've got a bunch of dopes, right, who just, most of them just look like work experience in yellow jackets, and they all do the whole fucking pat down. They've got the electronic like that.
We don't do that. We don't have that.
Every single person who walks into the fucking London Stadium gets fully checked like that. You're going, I mean, it'll only be a matter of time before they have you taking your fucking shoes off like at the airport.
Yeah, I mean, that's only ever happened once. We went to Manchester United away and we got searched there. But what's never happened, it might have happened once after there was some kind of fucking bomb somewhere in Britain. So for a week, they did the pat down.
Yeah.
And then that was it, and then it stopped again.
We've done it for a week. There weren't any bombs so far, so I don't think the threat's passed.
If the terrorists were going to strike, they would have done it the week after. I don't think they'll do it again. So
they're not
going to
do it now.
No. We'll not bother with the pat
no
down.
One can say we didn't do our due diligence.
we fucking... I mean, I know we're League One, so the crowds are down a bit. We're still getting about 30,000 in, but we just turn up and I get a hot pork sandwich from the hot pork sandwich van across the road from the stadium. I'm really missing that, I've got to tell you that. And then we queue and get in, and we get in for 5-3, just sit down. But
it's a fucking nightmare at West Ham. But what I miss is away games, and not to, your Old Traffords or Anfields or whatever. I miss going to places like the fucking Hawthorns, right?
Yeah.
Just like little away days where you've got a scruffy little away end that you pack out and your fans are all singing because everyone's more up for it. The fans at home games are like, here we are again. Oh, same old fucking faces. Right?
Same old
Whereas
shit.
Whereas when you're away, it's probably like, hey! You know, you want to represent. Yeah. So, I mean, I used to have an away season ticket for a few years, and it was fucking brilliant, right? Mm. And I think I might do that again when I get
back. Still do them, do they? Yeah.
Yeah, but it can't be an either or. That's the thing. You can't just go, I want an away season ticket, not a home ticket. You can only get an away season ticket if you have a home season ticket. So I'm just going to have to fucking... And there'll have to be one for the boy as well. So
yeah, of course.
The way an away season ticket works is not like a season ticket. You don't get... you don't get any... discount. You just... What you do is you sign up, you give them your credit card details.
Give us all your money.
And as soon as away tickets go on sale, they send you the first one. So they send you like the best seats sort of thing. Yeah. And that's it. So you just pay full price throughout the season.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're going to like Chelsea or Arsenal, it's like £80.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a big outlay. I mean, the last time I had it, I didn't have kids, put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking now. Like, my boy's nearly 14, so he's getting to the age where he'd want to do a weird days, and I'd want to do them as well, but he goes to, like, a drama club on a Saturday lunchtime, so he's going to need to quit that. But I don't want him to quit that, because it's good, it's fun, he enjoys it, good for his confidence and his creativity and all that sort of thing.
Still and most games down in...
He socialises with his pals. Surely that's got to be better than...
It's better than going to Sunderland away.
Schlepping away to Barnsley. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Assuming we get promoted, which that's not a fucking done deal either. But, yeah. But I think...
Are most games on Saturdays still for you?
Yeah. Yeah, we're Saturday 3 p.m, pretty much everything. And then midweek games. But I mean, I was just thinking, because we know we've got this new 23-year-old owner who was there yesterday, Kirill Louis Dreyfus, or KLD as we call him. They cut away to a shot of him sitting in the stand yesterday during the match, and he's looking down at his phone. Of course he is. He's 23.
Of course he is. Yeah.
He's on the Instagram. He's on the TikToks.
Yeah.
Of course he is. But
lol, at my football club, Ruffle.
But he's got a shitload of money, and his dad ran Marseille, so I think he knows what he's doing, and he's into it. And apparently he's pretty decent at the head tennis because he gets on the training ground. He might even get on the bench.
He's good at the head tennis, is he? That's a good sign.
He might even get in the match day 18. I don't know. But I was just thinking, we could have someone here who's A, got money, B, got the wherewithal to actually do it properly, what needs to be done.
Mm.
And I thought, in all the time I've supported Sunderland, 43 years, let's say, going back to the age of 5, I can only think of about 18 months when we've had somebody with both of those
money and know-how.
Characteristics, money and know-how. And it was when Niall Quinn was running things for a bit. And he had an Irish consortium of racehorse owners and builders and all this sort of thing. And that was great.
Yeah.
But then they ran out of money. The Irish economy, which was the tiger economy, I think they were calling it at the time, that collapsed. And then he sold it to the American billionaire, Ellis Short, who had the money, but had no fucking idea how to run a football club. So...
The fact that there is a bit of an Irish connection between Sunderland and the Irish. Martin O'Neill is an Ireland fan.
Martin
He's a Sunderland
O'Neill,
fan.
Martin O'Neill was a Sunderland. That all goes back to a player we had, a centre-back in the 60s called Charlie Hurley, who was an Irish player. And I think he played for Millwall as well. Sorry about that, Sam, before he came to us. But he was an Ireland national, and he regularly gets voted as Sunderland's player of the century, because anyone who saw Charlie Hurley play never forgets it. He was a brilliant, brilliant player, apparently.
Great name, Charlie Hurley, isn't it?
It's one of those things that's in the mists of time, do you know what I mean? It's just a given that I was born in 72, but I'll say, Charlie Hurley was easily our best player ever.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've been told, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the Irish connection, I think, and that's where Martin O'Neill became a fan, but there's no major big connection. But yeah, it looks like we might be in a position where for the first time we've either had someone who's had the best interests of the club at heart but no money, or someone with money and absolutely no fucking idea what to do with it. So this time it might be that perfect.
Well, if you go out this season and the form suggests that you will, then you could just be one of those, just carry the momentum in one season in the Championship. Bang!
That's the thing.
We're back, cunts.
Thing is, as well, I think clubs are going to be shedding players left, right and centre this summer because they can't afford to keep them. Especially in the lower leagues. We've got players who are... We've got Charlie Wyke, who's our top scorer, 21 league goals this season. I think he's on now. He's at a contract at the end of the season. We haven't renewed his contract because everyone's just playing them off and seeing, you know, which league we're going to be in, how much money we're going to have, because there's just no money at all. I think clubs might start collapsing over the next 12 months on the back of the COVID thing. I think they're going along properly on the bones of their arse now, and I think we might see some clubs go to the wall, go into extinction, or, you know, get picked up for a song by
disaster. I think the Premier League clubs are protected by the TV money, but outside of the Premier League,
there might even be one or two Premier League clubs that get into deep shit. I think, I really do think that, because you know, you don't get into football to make a profit if you're running a club. So, but we'll see. So, hey, football podcast. How
football
about that?
Football chat. That was a lovely football chat.
We might as well, before we move away from football, just update the prediction league from the weekend, Sam. As you know, I forged a comeback of sorts last week.
You did.
And I got to within 12 points of you. Well, I got 2 points at the weekend and you got 7. So you've just responded to that threat brilliantly.
Yeah, well, that shows character, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, that's the thing. That's what I've got as a predictor, is I've got character.
Hats off to you. Hats off to you.
You know, I know that there will be rocky times. Of course there will be. But when they happen, I don't let them knock me down on my arse. I keep going. I keep predicting.
It was the first two matches you predicted at the weekend. Newcastle Villa 1-1. Southampton Brighton 2-1 Brighton. There were your 2 3-pointers. You just... You know, that was it.
Bang,
I just
bang.
Said... I said, I've closed the gap by 7 points. And you went, right, here we go. And you just knocked out a couple of 3-pointers.
And do you know what I said to myself in the mirror? I said, we go again.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy's hit some form. We've had a few bad weeks. We go again, lads.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
I'm not going to sit here and lick me wounds. All I can say is you've just proven yourself.
I'm particularly pleased. When I spotted it, I was particularly pleased about getting Brighton Southampton, because I thought that was a... Newcastle Villa 1-1. Yeah, it's a bit of a kind of... But the Southampton... Brighton away at Southampton, I was proud of that. Gut feeling that was.
I think I scoffed at you when you predicted that.
You did. That was what I call a super prediction.
Yeah.
Sometimes, a few times a season, you get someone pulls off a super prediction, and that was one of the times it's happened.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Jalapeño.
At the end of the season, we're going to do super prediction of the season, right? Yeah. And we'll cut that. We'll cut together. We'll clip out predictions, predictions that both of us have made during the season, and people will be able to vote by text. The texts are going to cost £1, right? I'm going to set this up. And as we go through each super prediction, we'll go. And choice E is Andy predicting an improbable victory for West Bromwich Albion against Liverpool in March. And then it'll be the lightning seeds. I bet actually they haven't used that track in years, but I only think of that track when I think of any sort of compilation.
I think they brought it back due to popular demand a few years ago. I don't know what they're using now.
We've got to start using that track on this podcast in some capacity.
Yeah. I mean, every time someone wins the league, there's always one result where you go, yeah, that's it. They've got it now. You know, that's the one that's
set. You're talking about when Man United came back against Sheffield Wednesday.
Yes,
Brian Kidd and Alex Ferguson ran onto the pitch
dance on the pitch, yeah.
Two headers from Steve Bruce.
Yes, one of them. And that's what you've done there with Southampton 1, Brighton 2. Because, you know,
It was a watershed prediction.
Yeah, it was.
However, don't lure me into complacency. There's still several predictions to come. And until I am mathematically uncatchable at the top, right, I'm just going to get my head down. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to focus on the basics. Yeah. And I'm just going to predict. And the other thing is that I always say to myself in the mirror when I give myself a predicting pep talk, it's like, you can only predict the game in front of you. You can only predict what's in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't think six predictions down the line, mate. No. You've got to predict what's in front of you.
And you can't practice with you know, mock predictions.
You can't but it's never the same.
You can't use a fixture generator and randomly predict matches that aren't going to happen. What's the point of that?
You can't create the actual prediction atmosphere of when you're on Top Flight Time Machine, you are recording, you are looking at your opponent, in the eye, you know that ResultSpot is there listening, right? And you know that the listeners are listening, and you've just got to fucking predict.
You see some numbers,
You cannot fucking shit yourself.
Yeah, you cannot shit your pants.
You cannot shit your pants, as we've taken to saying.
Hero. Yeah, while we're talking about fleecing the listeners with a pound charge for a text, it's Brown John on Thursday. It's our first video live stream, Thursday evening, 7 p.m. You can get tickets that's listed on our website.
Your link is on our website, or you can just go straight to Eventbrite. And the link's on
Top Flight Time Machine. A couple of things we're going to need. But interaction from some of the viewers.
It'll be interaction not rich. Listeners.
It'll be
rich, won't it?
We did originally advertise on the little graphic that we did, rig ratings, which I don't think we're going to do now, but what we're going to do is show us it.
A rig rating.
It's kind of, it's on a smaller scale. It's a show and tell kind of scenario, and we want you to have something with you. If you want to show us it, something that's very dear to you or special or unique, something that's close to your heart, not a bodily part. You won't be allowed on screen if you're going to show us a bodily part. But if you want to come on, you might be selected to show us it, and we will rate it. You can discuss it with us, tell us what it is, what it means to you, and we will rate it accordingly. And if that's not high-quality content, I don't know what is.
It's like a combination between Antiques Roadshow, The Repair Shop, and Through the Keyhole, right? You give us a portal into your personal life via one item.
Portal.
And we will not give you a financial valuation, although in some cases
Maybe we will.
We will just simply rate it.
We might even make an offer. You know what I mean?
We might. You just don't know what's going to happen. And that's the beauty of Brown John. It's a live format, right? Yeah. It is fully interactive. You have the opportunity throughout the night, in ways in which we will tell you on the night, to come on air with us and interact with us, Andy and Sam, human beings, right? The whole thing will come to life and anything can happen. You may find yourself having us buy your cheese plant off of you. You just don't know.
I mean, show us it might quickly turn into sell us it. We might actively try and buy whatever you show us.
We're also going to be doing... So, listen, if you want to show us it, email us at contact@tftimemachine.com because we would like to arrange that part. If we know that you're up for it and you've got a particular item you'd like to show us, then nominate yourself before Thursday. Obviously, you'll need a ticket. If not, it'll be madness. Let us know and we'll line it up. We'll get our super producer to get you on air at the right time. So get in touch about that. One thing you don't have to get in touch about in advance, but you might want to start thinking about, is we will be doing Speed Life Logistics live.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the other thing we need from you.
It's like speed dating, but it's Speed Life Logistics. So you will come on air, you will tell us your life logistical problem, you will keep it fucking brief.
Oh,
right?
Jesus,
don't start trying to big up your role, because we know that you'll do that sometimes, right? Give us your problem, and we will, at speed, give you a solution, yeah? And one of the reasons we're doing it at Speed Life Logistics is we want to speak to as many of you as possible on the night. So if you've got a logistical issue that you need us to discuss or solve for you, get thinking about it, because we will do that during the show. And there's that and loads more. This is not going to be some bullshit thing. This is going to be loads of content, loads of new items, some of your favourite features and characters. It's going to be knockout. If you haven't got your ticket yet, fucking get it now.
Yeah, it's going to be Top Flight Time Machine in a new dimension.
Yeah.
You said, Sam, that you'd been trawling through Cameo again.
Well, it was Mother's Day, wasn't it? It was Mother's Day. Massive opportunity for Cameo. And we've got a group that sort of, a family WhatsApp group that started at the beginning of the COVID crisis last year. And now there's fucking loads of people on it. You know, all my brothers and sisters, all their other halves, most of the kids, which has had to mean that we've all had to change the, you know, dynamics.
The content.
Because my daughter's on it. Anyway.
PG.
It's got to be a bit PG. My mum, right, she's got 5 kids. We're all on the group. Do you know what she did at fucking about 7 a.m. yesterday morning? I woke up at about 8 and saw it. She had put a message on the group saying Happy Mother's Day, right?
Oh.
Well, I just replied I just wrote, bit fucking needy, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you're supposed to wait for us. It's like she's woken up at 7 o'clock. There's no messages yet. She's like, better fucking remind them. And she's like, oh, I meant it to all the other mums on the thread. I was like, yeah, of course she fucking did.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went round there.
I think they call it thirsty, Sam. They call it thirsty.
She was very thirsty, and I thought, I told her, I said, I thought it was undignified, to be honest, mum.
ruined the day.
And she was like, oh, fuck off, right? Mind you, on what was it the other night, she texted me just saying, I can't remember if I told you this, I just got a text from her quite late at night going, just in case you didn't know, tomorrow is National Cunt Day. I think it was last Tuesday, it was like National Cunt Day.
Oh, was that
and
thing?
I went, I said, I better get, yeah, I said, I better get a few cards ready then. She went, I've already got about fucking 50 written. Dear cunt, happy cunt day.
Happy cunt day.
Right, anyway, I thought it was a bit thirsty of her. I went round QPR tourist legend Castellani came down from his new country estate that he has...
Of course.
He's withdrawn from public life.
He came into town for the day, did he?
He came up to, yeah, he came up town and met me, and we walked over to my mum's. Gave me a chance to... He gave me a chance to hear on what he'd been up to in the countryside.
Yeah.
Which is quite good.
Is that a separate episode?
Yeah, it's a separate episode. Updates from the country. A Country Squire's Diary by QPR terrace legend Castellani.
He just needs to start his own podcast and he's just made it.
Oh, it'd be fucking brilliant.
God.
Oh, actually, there is a funny one that did happen to him. He's got himself an electric car, yeah?
Right, modern.
Not a toy one you actually drive about in.
Yeah,
he rocked
up
in it yesterday, right? And I said, fucking hell, I didn't realise it could go long journeys. He went, yeah, no problem.
didn't realise it could go long journeys. You just think they do like 12 miles, then they cut the car out.
Yeah, I thought, fucking hell, on the motorway? And he's like, yeah, yeah, you just have to... He goes, you get 2.5 hours out of a full battery charge, right? He fucking told me that he'd driven to Cornwall, but the sat-nav, the inbuilt sat-nav, tells you, right, this is when you're going to run out, but this is where your nearest charging station is, and it will guide you to the nearest charging station before you run out, right?
You just take your hands off the wheel and it just takes you there.
Yeah, he miscalculated, right? And it was something like he had 5 miles of battery left, but there was 6 miles to the nearest charging station. He was in Somerset on his way back from Cornwall. He'd dropped off his mate in Somerset. And he was like, ah, they've got to give you... It's a new car, so he wasn't yet familiar with it. He was like, they've got to give you a fucking... they've got to give you a mile's grace. You know, like with petrol, you never believe
petrol,
it.
When
it says it's at the bottom, you think, ah, I could do another fucking 100 miles in this before it properly conks out, right? He thought it was the same with batteries, right? Listen to this. He fucking got to the petrol station, but on the way it kept stopping dead. But he worked out that it would stop, he would leave it 5 minutes, then he would press the start button again and it would start and he'd be able to go for a bit further. And he sputtered along like this. He said it stopped about 3-4 times, but he finally managed to get to the petrol station that had the charging thing. He drove into the, you know, the fucking, into the station... Right, and it conked out one last thing just as he'd driven onto the concourse. Right, just as he'd driven onto it, and he thought, fine. The he could see the chargers, right, like 100 yards, 200 yards away on the other side of the petrol station. And he went, fine, I've only got 200 yards to go. I'll wait 5 minutes, do the old wait 5 minutes, press the button again. Wait 5 minutes, press the button. No joy. Waited another 5 minutes, press the button. No fucking joy, right? So then he thought, I'll push the cunt over there. Gets out.
Yeah.
Apparently the cars are fucking double heavy because they carry these massive fucking batteries in them, right?
Oh, right. I thought they'd just be light because they've got no petrol in them.
No. No, this is like a four-wheel drive one. He's got an Audi one, right? It's a big fucking car.
Yeah.
And he's like, there was no fucking pushing it. And I said, so what'd you do? He goes, I had to call the AA, didn't I? I went, you're fucking joking.
To go 200 yards.
He went, I waited for an hour. The AA turned up. They winched the car up onto the back of their truck. They drove it 200 yards across the petrol station. Then they let me back off. And then I had to charge it. I went, fucking hell, were you humiliated? Did they laugh? He went, nah, just one of those silent AA men who don't say anything. They just do it and then fuck off, right? Yeah. And I said, oh, God, that is humiliating, mate. And he's like, yeah. The worst thing was it was Friday night. He goes, so we usually get a takeaway curry. He went, and the takeaway curry was already at my house. But I had to charge the car then for an hour and a half. So I had to sit in the car on Friday night, knowing that the curry was going cold. He went, and I had to have a Scotch egg and a packet of Quavers in the car on my own. I mean, mate, this is not a good advertisement for electric cars.
Well, maybe it is. Maybe it makes you think twice. It's not a good advertisement for your brother, but would the extension cable not have stretched out 200 yards? Is that how these work?
Nah, I don't know. I mean, I said 200 yards. All I know is he could see it. Mm. And that was the thing that killed him, is that he could fucking see it and he couldn't get to it.
I mean, he could have walked to the petrol station and bought a can and got some petrol if it was petrol, couldn't he? But you can't put electricity in a
you
can.
You can't do that with electricity. And I said, isn't there a portable charger like you get for mobile phones?
Yeah.
So the old fucking problem is these batteries are gigantic.
Right.
I mean, in time, they'll get smaller, won't they?
They'll come and down, then, yeah. Like
it'll be easy.
Yeah.
He said, if there was a battery that was small enough to carry around in your car, he goes, you'd plug it in and it would probably get you about 10 fucking yards.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, but you know, curries are always best reheated anyway, so that's that.
Yeah,
so.
But he had his Scotch egg and, I mean, to be honest, I don't eat Scotch eggs anymore, but Scotch egg and a packet of Quavers in the car on a Friday night doesn't sound like the worst Friday night out.
A bit of solitary time, yeah, it doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, stick the radio on, lovely. Yeah. Bit of classical music, maybe.
Yeah. We're not going to have time for your cameo story. We've run out of time, Sam, unfortunately.
We will if I tell it like this. After my mum felt a bit bad because I said it was undignified.
That, but
no,
you got 10 minutes minimum.
10 minutes? That's fucking age. I was about to give you 10 seconds.
No, I want 10 seconds. I'm joking.
I got Nick Cotton to do a Mother's Day message. That's it.
Oh, get in.
It was John Altman, but I specified I wanted to do it in the style of Nick and only referred to himself as Nick in the message. And to be fair to John Altman, he fucking delivered, mate.
Well, I'm sure John Altman's not precious or anything. He's not going to get all these requests and go, I refuse to return to that role. I am no longer in the pay of the EastEnders production team. Nick Cotton was killed off. What's wrong with these people? This isn't canon.
What about my other roles? I have played Captain Hook for 4 years running at Windsor Theatre. No, he's brilliant. He's like, and Omar, all that stuff. Fucking great.
Fucking lovely. Great. You can't get a recording of us you can play on the episode, can you?
Yeah, I could play it out now if you want.
Well, I'll tell you what, just send it over and I'll stick it on the end after the music.
Yeah.
That'll be nice. All right, lovely. Thanks for listening, everyone. And every step you take is a step towards your destiny.
The storm always passes in the end.
Hello, Bren. Or should I say, hello, Ma. Now, listen, I've been asked to wish you a very happy Mother's Day by your son, Sam. I ain't seen my old Ma in ages. She won't be getting any flowers from me, I'm telling you. Now, come on, eat up your dinner. Sam loves you lots and sends very best wishes for today. God bless. Have a fantastic time. Keep well, keep safe. From me, Nick.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.